The Mormon Church is in the news of late. PBS premiered a two-part documentary on the church last month. One of its members now leads the Senate, and another is waging a high-profile campaign for president. Still, the Mormons, more formally the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, are probably the least understood of this country's major religions. And along with polygamy, one aspect of the church's past draws particular scrutiny, its attitude toward blacks. The Mormon leadership banned blacks from full membership until 1978. So imagine the surprise of freelance journalist Lauren Wilcox when she learned that the Mormons have, for the past few years, been actively recruiting African Americans. She wrote about the church's efforts and about the experiences of some black Mormons in D.C. in the May 13th issue of the Washington Post Sunday magazine. She joins us now from our bureau in New York. And also with us is Malcolm Jordan. He's an African American D.C. resident who converted to the Mormon faith 3 years ago. He joins us here in our studio.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Now, Lauren, start with you. How did you hear about this phenomenon?
Well, I've been interested in the Mormon Church. Actually, I have cousins who are Mormon. I've always noticed when I was reading in the press about the church that it was hard to find an article that didn't seem to already have its opinions fixed about the church at the beginning, and they were usually negative. So I started getting interested in that and interested in what the church is doing today, and I actually called up one of the PR people in Salt Lake and had discussions with her about how the church is growing and what the trends are. And she was the one who pointed out to me that they have this congregation in the D.C. area that was all black, an all-black congregation, and that was sort of new, and that it was really thriving and really this great community.
Now, Malcolm, you're quoted in Lauren's story, and you're quoted as saying that the minute you first walked into a Mormon church here in D.C., you immediately felt at home. Talk to me about that.
Yes, well, Michelle, I grew up in a Baptist church, and when I walked into the church, I was amazed. It was during a time where I was spiritually dead. I couldn't find what I needed in the Baptist church, and, you know, I just prayed on and asked God to lead me, and he led me to the church.
Had you first heard about it? Did a missionary approach you?
Well, no. I was watching a commercial, and it was a tape being given away. It was free, so they asked me, did I want them to mail it to me, or would I like the missionaries to bring it past? So I said, send your missionaries and save your money. So they caught me off guard because I forgot about ordering the tape, and they came at a time where I thought they were the police at first. You know, I was one of those D.C. guys, and they invited me to church, so I came to church, and I was amazed. And growing up in the Baptist church, for me, it was like anything outside of the Baptist religion was foreign.
Was the congregation that you visited, or ward, I guess is the right word, was that predominantly African-American, or was it still predominantly white?
Well, it was diverse. It was diverse. I was amazed to see black people there. You know, they opened up their arms and they kind of encouraged me, and it was just beautiful. I never experienced anything like that.
Now, you mentioned that you're a D.C. guy.
Yeah.
And I think what you mean by that is that it was not completely a shock to you that the police might have some interest in you.
Exactly.
Is that where we're going with that?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's where we're going.
Were you locked up at some point during this process while you were converting?
Yes.
So
how
did you maintain your studies during this period? Did the missionaries come and visit you in jail?
Yes. They came over to the jail and they visited me in jail. I decided that I would, get my life together and become serious. And the church has really helped me do that.
Now, you told Lauren at some point, and I should say that we appreciate and congratulate you on the fact that you have resolved your situation and that you are, you know, now doing what you're supposed to do. But you'd indicated to Lauren that when you were pursuing your interest in the Mormon church that, you know, some family and friends did not react particularly well. They called you Uncle Tom and things of that sort. Now, is that because the Mormon church is predominantly white or is perceived that way? Or is it because they knew about the history, that there had been some history where blacks were not fully welcomed or as full members in the church?
Well, for me, it was because of the missionaries. The majority of the missionaries in the D.C. area were white missionaries. They was concerned about white people coming to the house and me going to a white church. So, and then majority of the publications that I showed to them, you know, it was predominantly white.
Had white people pictured?
Yeah.
Well, how do they feel now?
Well, my father, he used to put the missionaries out. During the time I was converting, the missionary sitting there, he asked them to leave. He didn't want them poisoning his son. Just last year, we had Gladys Knight out to the church, and I invited him to that, and that kind of touched his heart. And he opened up a little bit, so he had the missionaries come and visit him.
So you're working on him?
Yeah.
I'm working.
Okay. I'm working.
Now, Lauren, Malcolm's talked several times about the importance of the missionaries to his experience. Mormon Church is famous for the extensive nature of their missionary outreach. So I was just wondering, how is it possible that the missionaries have people working all over the world, but we're not interested in American-born blacks? I'm just puzzled by that.
Right. This is a topic that doesn't have a clear answer, I think, in my reading. The church was founded on the writings of Joseph Smith, which he said were sacred texts given to him by God. And then there were different texts added. I hope I'm getting this all correct. And I think that somewhere therein, I mean, this was all in the 1830s and after, which was a racially fraught time for the United States anyway. These policies became crystallized, and they became thought of as theology and God's word when, you know, maybe it's closer to say that a lot of that stuff came from man. And so that was sort of repealed in steps gradually. The missionary program really affected the church's theology in a way, because they sent out missionaries that then came back with this more universal idea of what a church could be. So that from the inside, the church began changing. I mean, for so long, the church was so geographically isolated in Utah, and it was didn't have any real reason to change those policies. But then as it began to expand so dramatically around the world, and finally here, those policies began to change.
How realistic do you think it is really for the church to take root in a place like Washington, D.C.?
I think it's very realistic. One of my overall impressions was how remarkable and vital the connections that were being made there were. There were people who had never been around black people at all in their entire lives spending all their time working in partnership with, you know, people. And I felt like that was something that in many ways was happening probably in very few places in America. I mean, there's, you know, people tend to keep to their own sort of spaces a lot. And this was, it was almost sort of this forced integration. I mean, it wasn't forced, but it was this integration that was happening that I felt like was allowing people to stop thinking of people in terms of abstractions and ideas and stereotypes and just think of them as people, which sounds like the worst kind of cliche, but there was something real hopeful about that.
We've been speaking with Lauren Wilcox. She's a freelance journalist who wrote the story about the Mormon Church's efforts to reach out to more African Americans in the May 13th issue of the Washington Post Sunday magazine. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Michelle.
And thanks also to Malcolm Jordan, who is featured in the story. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, Michelle.